Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you about the Gilgo 4, a.k.a. the Gilgo Beach Murders, a.k.a. the Long Island Serial Killer. This is another story that's making recent headlines. So we're going to be talking about escorts, murders, sex parties, all kinds of things.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we'll start at the beginning.
All right. We started May of 2010 with 23-year-old Shannon Gilbert. Her driver took her to a client's house because she was an escort, and while she went inside, he stayed in the car waiting like they typically do. After a few hours, Shannon began to panic. I don't know why she freaked out, but she did. She made a 911 call saying someone was after her and trying to kill her. Now, during this 23-minute 911 call, at one point, you can hear two male voices in the background, and it was later determined to be the driver and the client that she was there visiting. But suddenly, Shannon screams, and you can hear her footsteps as she starts running down the road in this neighborhood. She knocks on several doors, but it's around 5 a.m. But one man was already awake, and he did answer his door. He says Shannon just kept saying, help me, over and over. He let her in, and he called 911 on his phone. He told her to sit down, that he had called the cops, and that they were on their way. She immediately turned and ran out the door, and hid under a boat in his yard. When her driver came driving slowly down the road looking for her, she got out from under the boat and took off running again. She banged on another door, and the woman at this home called 911 as well. But by the time the cops arrived at 5:40 a.m., Shannon was nowhere to be seen. Now, in December of 2010, in a search for Shannon, a police officer and his K-9, Blue, discovered a body in the marsh at Gilgo Beach.
So everyone automatically just thought it was probably Shannon because of the phone call 7 months earlier.
Right, but it wasn't Shannon's body. Oh. As they looked around the scene, they found three more bodies. So that's four bodies total. They were all petite women. They were all in their 20s. So we have Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Amber Costello, Melissa Barthelemy, and Megan Waterman. Three of the bodies were wrapped in burlap, and one had her body bound by a belt with a stamp on it of either WH or HM. They find male and female hairs on the bodies that don't belong to them, including a female hair on the belt that doesn't belong to any of the victims. So they start looking into the women's lives to see what they can find out. And here's their timeline. So in July of 2007, Maureen was a 25-year-old single mom living in Norwich, Connecticut. She started working as an escort through Craigslist ads to make ends meet. And they find out that a burner cell phone had contacted her. A total of 16 interactions were made between her and this burner between July 6th and July 9th. She went to Midtown Manhattan in New York to work for the weekend at this time. She called her sister at the end of the weekend while she was at the train station to catch a midnight train back home. Her sister said she heard the sounds of the station in the background, so she knew Maureen was already at the station when she called. But after that call with her sister, she was never seen or heard from again.
So the train station didn't have cameras or anything to maybe see where she had went or what happened. I mean, I would think 2007, they could have said something there.
You would think. But there hasn't been any mention of her being caught on any CCTV cameras in the area. But we're going to jump ahead now 2 years to July of 2009. Where Melissa, a 24-year-old woman who moved from Buffalo to New York City to be a hairdresser, she ended up also working as an escort to help make some extra cash. And almost 2 years to the day of Maureen going missing, Melissa disappeared. To add salt to the wound in this one, her 15-year-old sister started getting calls from a man saying that he had killed Melissa.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I already know he's an asshole, so he doesn't have to keep driving the point to home.
Oh, I agree. So then we're going to go to June 2010 and talk about Megan. Megan was 22 years old, also a mother. She was from Maine and working as an escort.
I'm picking up on a pattern
here. Yes. And around June 5th, a burner phone that they found out was activated that same day contacted her. So at around 1:30 in the morning, surveillance picks up Megan at the front desk of the Holiday Inn Express where she had been staying. She leaves the hotel, and she's never seen alive again.
There's such a clear pattern. Hindsight's 20/20, but it's hard to think about how different it would have been. It would have turned out if someone come across one of those bodies earlier. Media would have drawn more attention and could have made the killer change his dumping ground, or could have scared them enough to just stop.
You're right. And we'll never know what could have happened. So in September of 2010, Amber, she's 27. She's living in Long Island, and she's working as a, take a guess.
I'm only going to go out on a limb here and say she's working at a desk.
Right. So she apparently was having lengthy conversations with a client. Police did interview her roommate, who was also said that the client was offering her $1,500 for one night. Now, that's a lot of money for one night. So the next day, she leaves her house on foot to meet the client down the street, which is pretty smart, and was never seen alive again. But the roommate was able to tell the cops that one of her clients looked like an ogre and drove a first-generation Chevy Avalanche. So he was helpful. Now, in May of 2011, six more bodies were recovered in the investigation, but investigators haven't linked any of them with the Gilgo 4 murders. The new six range from a toddler and her mother to an Asian male dressed in women's clothing.
So these don't match up with the MOs of any of the other three women at all?
Actually, most of the six victims were reported to be sex workers who worked mainly through Craigslist ads, so there are similarities. So the investigation continues, and in December of 2011, Shannon's body was recovered, but, plot twist, they don't think she was murdered. They believe, based on the evidence and the 911 call, that she accidentally ran into the marsh and unfortunately drowned in her panicked, drug-induced state. They aren't treating her death as a murder, but her disappearance did uncover the other women. But the investigation stalls at this point, until February of 2022. And a new task force was formed, and within 6 weeks, they had a name, Rex Huerman. They pieced together the clues of the ogre, the Chevy Avalanche, and the locations that all these women were last, and that led them to Rex. They pulled his phone records from back in 2010.
So how did they connect him if the killer was using a burner phone?
Well, he wasn't that bright, because even though he was using burner phones, they were able to bump up the burner phone locations with his personal cell phone locations, and they were in the same areas at the same times the victims were being called. So they spent a year investigating him and collecting evidence. They witnessed Rex go into a phone store and make a payment on a burner phone, and they noticed one day that he threw away a pizza box in a trash can on the street in Midtown Manhattan. And they snagged that up, and they were able to match the DNA from the pizza crust to the DNA found on some of the women's bodies. He was busted. So Rex been arrested, and when they arrested him, they started searching him and his house looking for evidence. He had two phones under fake names that they found out he used to contact escorts between 2020 and 2023, and he also used them to search the victim's names and their family members.
Oh man, that's just creepy.
It is. It's tragic. He was originally charged with three of the murders, but it wasn't until January of 2024 that he was finally charged with Maureen's death. She's the one that had the belt binding her. And remember, there was a female hair in the buckle of the belt, and they tested it, and it was an 8 trillion to 1 match to Rex's wife, Asa. Now, Asa's from Iceland, and she would take their daughter and her son from a previous relationship to Iceland to visit family in the summer. And most of these women disappeared in the summer months.
He would wait for his wife and kids to leave and then go wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But are they sure she was gone during these times, or when women have been known to, you know, help someone commit crimes like this?
That's very true. But as of right now, they have ruled her out for being involved in any way. Plus, at the time that Maureen was murdered, Asa was in Atlantic City with her kids. But they have had multiple people come forward and say that Rex and Asa participated in swingers parties. They even put Rex with more than one of the victims prior to their murders. But there is a leap from knowing about swingers parties and what your spouse is doing and knowing or even helping with murdering people.
So if they don't expect, you know, suspect the wife of being involved with the murders, then they must think her hair transferred from the belt buckle from him.
Right, like that he had transferred it from his house to the killing field because, you know, hair will attach.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can put a shirt on and I got 20 of your hairs inside my shirt. So, yeah, I understand that completely.
But. It's very true. And that's, I mean, it's a possibility. Yeah. On January 16th of 2024, he was charged with second-degree murder in Maureen's death, and he is being held without bail awaiting trial. Now, Shannon's family's lawyers, remember, she was the first body that they found. Actually, she was the woman who...
drowned or whatever.
She was a woman who drowned, yeah. And so she led to the other bodies being found, but she wasn't found for years later. But her family lawyer believes that her death is part of this too. That it's, she's one of the Gilgo Five, I guess is what they do.
I would tie it to that one too. I mean, because it's in the same area.
It is. It's, I mean, there was so many bodies found out there, but they're saying... the lawyer is saying that there were so many similarities. Like, the cop said that she drowned, but when they found her body, she was face up and on top of a bush. And her pants were off. Hmm. Like, they were there at the scene, but they weren't on her body. And so they ordered a second autopsy. The family did. Hmm. And the second one said that she was strangled. That she didn't drown. She was strangled to death. Because her hyoid bone was cracked on one edge. And as true crime followers know, damage to the hyoid bone is an indication of strangulation. And the police said that her pants came off because she was crawling through the bramble, and that's what pulled her pants off. But the lawyer said that these were not baggy pants. These were very form-fitting, not easily pulled off and on by just crawling through some brush. And they said that her state, I use that word loosely, that she took them off on her own because they got wet. But I don't know about that. That's kind of far-fetched. And the family doesn't believe any one of these stories are true because they're trying to pin it on all on her being drugged up and not knowing what was going on. But she had, according to the family, she had no drugs in her body, in her system. Yeah. So... they're wanting the cops to reinvestigate this and to add her to this case.
Yeah.
He hasn't been found or he hasn't been sentenced just yet. I don't even see any real updates as far as like his trial goes. But I mean, if there's just a lot of similarities, and I know she wasn't with him that night though, that's another thing. They know the client she was with. They talked to the client. They talked to her driver that took her to the client's house. So they know it wasn't Rex.
Yeah.
And there's nothing putting Rex there with her that night. So.
Nothing at all. Like, nothing as far as, like, his burner phone didn't have that her number.
But then how would he have come across her? Like, she's running down the road and he just shows up and is like, get in the car. I mean, how does that work?
No, I'm saying, like, he was calling all these escorts.
He was.
From the burner phone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, couldn't they just look up her phone records and be like, you know, check all these damn numbers that coordinate in this timeline with his phone, his personal phone, like they linked the other one.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I need to look into that, see if they've done that.
I mean, you know, it's...
but I don't think they have because they ruled her death as an accident. Yeah, I don't even think they really pulled anything.
But I mean, obviously they had it reexamined and everything, and they came back and said no, she was definitely
right. They've got something now to go off of, something to reopen that investigation.
And they even found more bodies out there, didn't they?
Yes, there was six more. Yeah, I said that earlier.
Was it? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. There was six more bodies found, and they.
So it's like a total of what, 11
right now.
11 of them, and one of them's a kid.
One of them is a toddler, but her body was found with her mother, and her mother was a known escort. So they were all, except for the toddler, related to the sex worker trade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know why she would have her toddler with her, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would... Obviously, I mean, he had a pattern.
Oh, yeah. He had a clear-cut pattern.
And if all these women had the same pattern as the other women, you know, as far as work trade and everything, I would pretty much put him as prime suspect.
Well, and like I said, these six bodies were found in the same area, just like the four were found in the same area. But we actually watched a very interesting interview, I don't know if you remember it, a couple weeks ago, of a woman who was telling the reporter...
Oh, yeah. No. Yes. She was high. She was high as could be.
It's kind of hard to watch the video.
That right there was the most unreliable interview.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, she had decent information because she knew the lady.
Yeah.
At the swingers party.
Right.
And she was one of the first ones that came up missing, wasn't she?
No, she was actually one of the six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
in the second location.
So that one of the six that's not even tied to him was at the swinger party.
With him.
With him and his wife.
Yep.
And everything, which, you know, she says that she never was at these things.
I don't think she ever said that she wasn't at them, because she can be placed there by many people.
Oh.
But she's just saying that other than that, she has had no involvement. And yeah. Nobody has... I don't think anybody has come out and said that she was active in these parties. I think she just went. But she was... There's been several people that have reported that she was kind of scared of Rex. Like, she just did what he said, made sure she did everything she was supposed to do. Like, she had a fear of him.
Hmm.
So,
the
she
wife.
May not... Yes, yeah. Asa. And I'm not going to lie, I think it was a week after he was arrested, she did file for divorce.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't blame her one bit. But, I mean, but yeah, that going back to that lady in that interview and everything, the news anchor that was interviewing her, I forget what news station was
that? I don't remember. I think it was one of their more local ones.
Yeah, I think it was a local one for that area. But she ended up cutting her off because she just finally realized, look, this is not a good source. And everything, but
yellow wild.
I mean, man,
she was hard to follow. She really was. But what
I'll
she
be honest with you,
this...
I'm on. I wish we had a picture of that lady just put up on here because it was good night. It was bad.
Yeah, she was wild. But what she did say was that that body that was found is the woman that was seen at a party with him.
Yes,
she was one of the six. And her boyfriend was a cop. She was actually at the party with her boyfriend, who was a cop. But the woman's story in the interview was that she went to this house. It was Rex's house, I want to say.
Yeah, it was Rex's house.
And then her partner that she brought with her, Rex, and this missing girl, or one of the six that we're talking about, that they all participated in the party. And then as they were leaving, she could see this girl run out of the house, and Rex was chasing her, almost like she was trying to get away. Because she said something to her partner that came with her, and he said, oh, they're probably just playing a game.
Yeah.
But it struck her as odd that adults would play chase in the middle of a...
Well, and didn't she say that she seen her in the window, and she was telling her, like, looking at her, like, help me or whatever?
Right, that was before they drove out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she... If you can get any credibility out of this interview or out of this woman, it was really hard.
It was bad.
She, like you said, that's information, but it's hearsay because nobody knows. Is she reliable enough?
No, she's not reliable enough. That's the whole thing. If she was to go to court during this right here, they could discredit her so freaking quick.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And everything. Just off the news. Just off that news film. You know what I mean? Just off that one little... clip and everything, they could discredit her right there.
That's very true.
And I might be looking at it wrong. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe she had a stroke or something like that. maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's what it seemed like. I mean,
I don't know if there was any kind of physical or medical issue. She did seem like she was intoxicated or under the influence of something. And she kept getting riled. Like, she was really getting after
it. She's, like, really slow talking and everything else. Till the end. I mean, yeah, all the way to the end. I mean, she almost looked like she was about to fall asleep.
Just have a little nap on TV. Yeah. And that also brings the question, because these are so spread out, because you can put certain places and certain people together. And then the Shannon thing, like, they're really pushing it that she could be part of it. But we know right before her time of death, pretty much, she was on 911.
Yeah.
With them on recording. So we know that there was somebody after her. But if you think about it, that kind of answers itself in the story, because, like I said, the client came forward, her driver came forward. Nobody's being secretive about it. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, this happened. She freaked out. She ran. We chased after her because he was trying to get her to leave his house, is what the story is. And then she freaked out.
Yeah.
But we don't know why he wanted her to leave his house. But it also begs the question of, did he do it by himself? Did he have help? Is there another guy? Because sometimes these people, they have a little community.
I don't know, man. He probably one of the guys that just gets off on it.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. These other six that are not tied to him and everything else. I mean, what? Was he copycatting it? No.
It's not that they're not tied to him. It's just that they can't prove it yet. They're still investigating.
Well, I hope so, because, man, he needs to be tied up to all of them.
Because I want to say their show as far back as the late 90s.
Yeah.
That these bodies have been there. So, but.
And this was like property he owned, wasn't it?
No. This is private, or I mean public property.
Oh, that's where they, so the avalanche, where they found the avalanche that the guy talked about, that he described what got him arrested, really.
Right.
That was on the property in another state, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was either his or his brother's property.
Yeah, I think it said his.
Yeah, he tried to move that sucker.
Yeah.
Didn't work, though. And this guy was an architect. I mean.
And that's another thing. It's like, why, you know, if you're really trying to hide something, if you're trying to, I mean, how many years has it been since he didn't, I mean, when was the latest?
You mean the most current?
Yeah, the most current one.
Out of the four of them, the most current is, well, they found those other bodies in 2011, but Amber was the fourth one she went missing in September of 2010. Yeah, so who knows if he's still been going.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, and, you know, and he obviously hid the avalanche. Why not just get rid of it? Like, you know.
Well, a lot of times these people get real cocky and they think they're not going to get caught. So they're like, I don't have to do anything.
Oh, yeah. I don't really know.
He was obviously sloppy because, I mean, if you're transferring your wife's hair onto the body, because I know you got to get real close to a body to move it. If you're doing it by yourself, you're getting real close.
Oh yeah, and then they found the pizza box and everything, and you know, because it just
did he eat a whole pizza? Like
that's what I'm saying. I mean, that was a whole pizza box. Yes. I mean, yeah, he must have been walking down the street eating each damn slice.
He was hungry.
Yeah, he was. But he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
They say that's how he was so memorable, because a lot of these sex parties when he was really active, I guess I need to call them swingers parties. Either way, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
But they were really active back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
But they say he stands out, and the reason they can remember him so well is because of the mere size of him. He's like super tall. He's just a big guy.
Yeah.
He stands out in the crowd.
Yeah, and they said that even whenever he was in school, he got made fun of.
Right.
Because of how tall and how big he was and everything. And
right.
So he kind of stayed to himself in school.
Well, I mean, he is obviously a psychopath.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, yeah. But I mean, back then he was getting made fun of and everything else. And then when he gets you know, older and everything else. You know, now he's got this, you know, complex or whatever. You know.
I wonder if being an architect,
now he's bigger than everybody.
I'll show you.
Yeah, he goes, I'll show this person. But no, he's showing women.
Petite women. Like, yeah. I'm talking tiny women.
Yeah. Can't even show somebody his own size.
That was his preference, was very, very tiny. And I'm talking like 5 foot, 5'2", tiny women. It's just sad because I think he just really liked the dominance of it.
Yeah, it sucks because, you know, like, the women were, you know, they was escorts, whatever, you know, they had to do whatever they had to do to make a living, but,
right,
you know, some of them had children.
Yes.
And now they're without a mom and everything. And then in that one case, you know, the child was, you know, taken with the mom.
Yeah.
That's real sad. I really hate to hear it whenever a child is taken.
Yeah, that adds a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet.
Because it was a toddler. I'm not sure. I don't think they've came out and said exactly how old she was.
Well, either way, it's a kid.
I doubt she's going to be around going, hey, cop, let me give you a great description so you can draw out a rendering.
I mean, it don't matter. If that kid is from infant to, you know, 16, that's a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Until they turn the age of 18, they're a kid.
They're somebody's baby.
That's somebody's baby. I mean,
even after 18, my kids are my baby.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's really getting very popular right now because he's, like I said, this has become very recent that they've actually been able to start doing things. Like, just not even, I guess it would be a month ago. Right at a month ago, he was finally charged with Maureen. So this is very
with
new.
With one.
Right, with Maureen.
With one.
Right. He had already had the other ones going. But he hasn't been sentenced or anything yet. He hasn't even been found guilty. Sorry, I'm tangled up.
Well, hopefully he gets what's coming. Because that's just.
Yeah, when I was reading news articles and stuff, it always, like, it makes me, I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but I feel.
For him?
No, I mean, like, yeah, there's still people. I mean, he's still a people.
Whatever, man. If he had in his head to kill somebody and everything else, I mean,
yeah.
You know, you chose that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't have, like, a sympathy for people like that like I do for other people. That's why I said I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but it pretty much is cold-hearted. Because I read articles when they're in jail that's like, oh, he's isolated because he's in confinement.
Oh,
and I'm like,
aw. Poor
you
guy.
You poor thing, breathing all that air, eating all that food, doing what you want in your little cell. I know prison's not the greatest place in the world, but you're alive.
Yep.
Golly. And they have kids. They have kids, too.
She had kids from a previous marriage.
They have one together.
Oh,
she has one from a previous, and then they have a.
I thought she had two from a previous marriage.
No, actually, they have a daughter together.
Well, her daughter.
I know, but it's hard, and
just
I know
that,
she's
I mean,
because
you know, like, I mean, hell, that'd be hard to find out that your dad's a murderer.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna have to grow up with that now.
Yeah, who she thought was Superman is really just a cold-blooded killer.
He's the Penguin.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Penguin. He's just a cold-blooded killer. That's all it is.
I'm telling you, these are hard. These are hard to think of, hard to do, because all these family members, too, getting phone calls from him and texts.
That's just
and
sick.
Stuff. I mean, her sister was 15, and he's texting her.
No, that was just sick. That was... I mean, if anything, that was him asking to get caught. I mean, honestly, why would you even message?
Because, like you said, he gets off on it.
He was asking to get caught.
He's asking for an ass.
Yeah. No, he was getting too damn cocky.
Yes.
And everything, and you know what? That's what got his ass caught.
That is what got his ass.
Well, I'm glad you guys tuned in and everything. I hope you guys enjoyed our podcast
and listening to us ramble
on about this sick individual.
Oh, that's nice. That was nice of you.
Well, I don't know any other way to put it.
This asshole.
Yeah, this ass. About our next story. I don't know which one. Which one are we doing next?
I think I want to bring you into the world of Carrie Farber.
Carrie Farber, okay.
Yeah.
So tune in next time. We're going to be talking about Carrie Farber. Thanks for listening. Please like, share, subscribe.
Yeah. Come like us, then we'll do more. And if you have any suggestions, reach out. We'll do them.
Have a great night.
Bye.